Hello and welcome to Connected, the Sunday Business Post technology podcast brought to you in association with Dell EMC. I'm Emmett Ryan, and we have an interesting one for you all this week before we introduce our guests, because sort of in how we often work out what we're going to do with some, because as you know, we have the print, the web, the podcast, various different ways of covering stuff in the post. And when the person who told me about this company we're going to talk to got on to me, we saw a press release around them and I thought, this is an interesting company I want to talk to, but where on earth do I put them was the short version, because I could have given them like a tiny 300-word news story, but it wouldn't have really told a story. They weren't quite fitting in the tech section and just yet in terms of where they were, what they were doing. I was thinking, but I definitely want to have them on somewhere, and I'm thinking, well, the storytelling part of the podcast is kind of for, so that's why we decided to go with them in here, and it works really well. As you might recall from our Harambe and our Valentine specials, we couldn't have really done Harambe justice, which I'm sure our guests are going to be kind of going, Harambe, what? Justice had we done it in the paper, but we got really deep and far out there. So we're hoping to get deep and far out with my guests today. They are Damien O'Kelly, who is the CEO of Nutritics, and Dr. Sharon Madigan from Sport Ireland. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks very much, Emmett.
And so, Damien, now, how you guys came onto my radar was this bit of research you all did, which, as an Adonis myself, I was in no way surprised to learn that Irish men are healthier eaters than the rest of the world. So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, that was the stats we published with the paper. The stats, men being healthier eaters, we basically analysed 42,000 records from Nutritics anonymously through the system, and we did some analysis on it and found that in Ireland that men who worked with a nutrition professional had better than the national average scores in sodium and some other nutrients as well.
So basically, apparently, you know, me, my great large self, eats less sugar than most men internationally.
Well, you have to work with a nutrition professional, so the stats were based on people who are working with someone using Nutritics, and because Nutritics is always run by a nutrition professional, then you have to sign up here with Sharon, I think.
Okay. Well, we will get to Sharon in a second, but before I start asking Sharon about what she's doing with her role, we got to explain what the company does. I know we were talking before we went on the air. You guys are based in Swords, about 16 of you working there, and on the go about 5 years. But I always assume, no matter how big or small a company is, that our listeners have not heard of you when we have guests in from a company. So explain what Nutritics is, what the sort of the background to the company.
Yeah, okay. So Nutritics, it's nutrition software, nutrition calculation software. And it came about because of my background in sports nutrition and seeing that the software that was out there was not the most user-friendly and difficult to provide feedback to athletes that I was working with in particular. So we started off as a sports nutrition product. And the whole idea of Nutritics is to enable nutrition professionals to make effective decisions and help them improve their feedback to athletes.
So essentially, how does it work?
So it's all based on a huge database of foods, first of all. So we have national published foods, a food database essentially, and we've supplemented that with our own. And you can just combine those in various different ways. So you can produce a dietary assessment report. So basically, it's all based on a national food database that we've collected from various sources, and what the practitioner can do is input the athlete's age, weight, height, gender, and generate the targets that the person should be hitting in order for a particular goal, for a nutrition, health, or performance related goal. And then they can produce meal plans and give them recipes in the system and feed it all back to them.
And now you're saying the idea came from the inefficiencies in your background. Just tell us a bit about what you were doing before Nutritics.
Yeah, so I was actually coming out of college. I worked in as a strength and conditioning coach with Google, and from there I saw that the people who were getting most.
I just love how the Google, of course, is a strength and conditioning coach.
Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, so helping them to it's actually to help them with their strength and conditioning for Google Fit, which is a European challenge around the clubs compete with each other. But the guys who did the best were the ones who were following the nutrition program, which was fairly basic at the time. So it got me more and more interested in the nutrition. And ultimately, I built this large Excel spreadsheet where I had every food, you know, how Google provides all the food to people. And so this spreadsheet had everything they were eating in the whole company. And we could make really detailed meal plans and see exactly what they're eating and give them targets and meals that would suit them. And from there, I went on and did a master's in sports nutrition. And I had access to professional software then that let me down a few times. I was working with some Commonwealth athletes, and it just I couldn't give them any kind of tangible feedback that was useful. The foods were limited. It wasn't very user-friendly. And ultimately, I ended up going back to my spreadsheet. So And that's where the idea for Nutritics came from. So it teamed up with my brother Kieran, who's now CTO of the company, and we started basically tinkering away and building up this product that that we brought to market soon afterwards.
And I'm going to get in trouble if I don't mention it. Well, the company is in Swords. Damien is from Portmarnock originally, so yes, you all can appreciate that part too. Like, just because, like, you know, villages in this country, we get very, very personal over it. Now, Sharon, I'm kind of excited to have you in because I've interviewed you a couple of years ago and a bit about the whole sort of sports nutrition and supplement side of things. And so obviously you've been in this area for, well, ages.
More years than I'd like to think, unfortunately, at this stage.
And but I suppose, how did Nutritics come onto your radar?
I suppose, like Damien, I've probably used the same software that he used and failed miserably on, or found, not failed miserably, but probably found it, I struggled with getting information that I wanted to use from it. Now, I've a background, obviously I work in sport, but I have a background clinically and in research as well, and I would have used a lot of these programs in those areas, and for they're the about fit purpose, the about fit purpose. I think the interesting thing about athletes is that they're a different breed, really, and Damien would probably agree with that as well. They're much more into the fine detail, and what we were getting with some of the other software programs just wasn't good enough, really. And dietary data is notoriously difficult to collate and to get any information from. You know, there's lots of reasons for that. We report what we want to report. We don't report things that we don't want people to know about. And then likewise, then we've got issues with, are you telling them what they want to hear? What they want to see is probably a plan for some of them. Others, they want to know what they're doing and where they're actually feeling.
And that's the thing, because you're dealing with people as well. Yeah. So they want the software that you're using when you're working with them to be right, because like they want to know, because like you've got some people, I'm sure, who are obsessives over what they're putting in their body.
Absolutely.
And then you've got some who just, not necessarily obsessives, but want to know that it works.
Yeah.
So different personality types massively, but like basically they both want the same end thing of, it not to be wrong, essentially.
Yeah, and when you get to athletes that are working in very fine margins, you know, you actually need to give them as the close to the detail as you can, and actually that suits us. So if I have an athlete that's very big on the detail, I can go really detail heavy with this particular program. Or if I've actually athletes that just want to know about the basics, we can do that as well. So then it's up to me to decide what kind of information that I feed back to them. Or if I've got an athlete that's quite young, it'll increase as time progresses with them. So we can take all the stages, really.
And I'm guessing as well that athletes themselves have kind of become more savvy about the software, have they, as the years go by?
Yeah, there's any amount of stuff out there in, you know, the on the internet in terms of people using their own free apps or bits and pieces to collate and collect information, of which some of it is quite useful. You know, so we would probably use some of those as well. But if I'm looking to really fine tune something, I'd like to kind of have an idea. Dietary data collection is notoriously difficult. It really is. If you want to really be 100% sure of what you're getting, and that's just impossible to do.
And I suppose, Damien, as well, with what you guys are doing, because the classic problem with the dietary field is you've got an awful lot of people who aren't really using data. They aren't really using science. They're using, you know, what would best be described as absolute garbage, which should not be allowed in the public.
I'm glad you said that, and not me.
Well, fortunately, as the host, producer, and general everything else of this show, I get to say whatever I like. And yeah, so you got all these, like, you know, snake oil merchant charlatans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cowboys, who plenty of athletes will go to because everybody's looking to be that little bit better. I always say looking for the extra edge. People immediately think I mean pads. No, like, a lot of it isn't even pads. A lot of it is, like, trying to make themselves the best they can be. And, you know, I remember covering, like, there was these guys, it was the deer antler spray guys a couple of years ago, and I was near the interiors at how bad the reporting on it was, because, you know, it was like Sports Illustrated did this 5,000 word piece, and I think, because I did a sort of a data check on it in terms of the first point of any level of challenge about the science behind it, can't really do air quotes in a podcast, unfortunately, came about 3,500 words in. And that lasted, and in total, it was largely of the 5,000 words, 4,700 were basically not remotely challenging what these guys were saying. So, and these are, by the way, two veteran journalists doing it. I was disgusted. So when you've got, like, so much legitimacy being granted to people who are basically full of garbage. Oh, by the way, you guys can swear I can't. That's the rule of connected, unfortunately. You know, it's like, so how hard is it for a company which is so data-driven like yourselves to make sure you stand out?
Yeah, I suppose it was always one of the things that was important to the company's ethos when we were developing it, that it would always be evidence-based, that we'd always bring the best evidence base forward and make it practical to implement and to actually use in a practical way. So yeah, we brought that through now. We obviously had the platform for practitioners and professionals, but now we've brought that through to the consumer facing app that athletes can use and the general public can use in the near future, to actually tap into that evidence base and consult with the professional as well. So through our new app Libro, which is bringing that to we should be bringing that to market in the next 6 weeks. So something to look forward to.
Tell us a bit about that, because obviously the consumer facing side is a good way to cut through those sort of folks. Like, so what was the thinking of getting a consumer facing app? Because obviously I'm thinking what you do, the natural point for you is really a Sharon rather than an actual athlete. I'm not saying Sharon isn't an athlete, I'm sure she's very good at sports, but someone who isn't a medically qualified athlete.
Yeah. medically qualified. Yeah. I mean, the point where it all came about was we were trying to connect the markets back. So initially, our most requested feature really from the professional side was to develop this app to help them collect dietary records from their athletes and patients, not just athletes, but also like clinical patients and general Joe public who comes to see a freelance professional, you know. So and to facilitate that process, the app is very useful because they're not picking up paper food diaries and trying to interpret them and type them in, and you know, so the app will help with that a lot. But our vision for the app really is much bigger than that. We want to connect multiple markets together. So connect the consumers to the professionals and connect the consumers also to the food industry, who have started using our food service platform to generate recipe calculations and allergens and everything else, and then let the consumers tap into that to help them input their food diary data in a, you know, in an evidence-based way, like the best possible data they can.
See, Libro, like a book, folks.
Libro, yeah. And then that feeds back to the professional, and everything, you know, the data flow is there. The connecting consumers to food service, consumers to professionals, and then we've got the research layer on top of that as well, so we can pull stats from it and everything else. So.
And like Sharon, on the cowboy side, because obviously, like what we're seeing with Damien is like comical amounts of real hard data stuff being used, great. But I always think of the worst problem in the world is lack of protected terms, because like dietitian, great, you can't call yourself a dietitian. Unfortunately, me who did a homemade breakfast roll for breakfast yesterday because I felt like it, could still call myself a nutritionist and no one could actually stop me. That's kind of a problem really still, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's a massive problem. I think it's extremely difficult, and I suppose the problem that we have as professionals is that not only am I thinking about the here and now, I have to think about the individual in 5 or 10 or 15 years time. I think there's a lot of fly-by-nights where if you get a result, that's your result, and that needs to be today or tomorrow.
Oh, it's your classic correlation causation garbage.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So the difficulty is, and I use a slide of a carrot where you've got two carrots, you know, growing. One where you can, there's a tiny wee carrot underneath the ground, but massive plumage on the outside, and one where there's a massive carrot in below, but tiny plumage on the outside. And the point being is that you can't tell. We're focused on how we look at the moment as opposed to how healthy we are.
Well, that's why I dress so well in the office nowadays, because people didn't realize I was so good because I was coming in dressed like a bum. So I started wearing suits and they all think I'm working really hard now.
And I have lots of examples of individuals from both Joe Public, clinical patients, and also, you know, from an athletic point of view, that people would assume are quite healthy, but in fact they're quite unhealthy.
Oh yeah, like some of the, now I'm not saying obviously being overweight is a good thing, I wouldn't ever be making that argument, obviously there are downsides to that, but some of the unhealthiest people I know are skinny, yeah, as heck, and it's kind of going, skinny doesn't mean healthy, folks. No. Skinny just means you have good metabolism. You know, it's like,
And even then it possibly doesn't, because you may have elevated cholesterol, you may have elevated blood pressure, there's lots of other things that are going on the inside that you can't see.
Of course,
and,
yeah,
you know, bone health is a big part and problem of that too. And I think the difficulty is we are very motivated by how people look at the moment as opposed to actually health and well-being.
And I want to ask you about when you started working with Damien, like with his software, because you were saying about how you'd been basically, you know, swimming in porridge with the software you had before then. You know, it was just a nightmare because it was so hard to get it to be accurate. It was laborious and all that. Like, when you started using this, what did you start noticing?
I think the range of different foodstuffs that's in the database, which is you know, we have Irish foodstuffs in there, which is obviously then going to be a lot more accurate. I think the ease of which you can actually put it in, what I like, you know, in a lot of the databases I would have used before, you would have had to just lump everything in one go and then start to do differences between days and stuff here. And what you find is, as well, people tend to eat similar things on similar days. There might be slightly differences between them. So I can differentiate the foodstuffs, and then day one, day two, day three, and slightly there might be differences there. So
are we all that predictable, are we?
Yeah, kind
that's
of.
That's really
we
bad.
Folks, apart from weekends, maybe they're
folks,
different.
Folks, get the more creative in your weeknight meals.
The wheels come off the bus at the weekend. But
but I mean, even if you're eating healthy during the week, get more creative. Like, you can make different stuff for yourself.
Well, we tend to be quite similar in how we do things. So it's easy then. And again, that's useful because different days, for instance, for athletes, they're certainly doing different things. So I can be very specific and show them how that's not matching up with what they're actually doing. And what we see with a lot of our athletes, and it's a growing, well, it's a problem that's been there for quite a while. It's actually getting a little bit more traction in the media at the moment, but it's actually the fact that athletes aren't eating enough for what they're actually doing.
And actually, that makes a lot of sense, because I remember, you know, years ago, and actually interviewed him several times since, including for that piece a couple of years ago with you, Connell Hooper in UCD, Doc Hooper, who I know from the football club there. And, well, he's a creative driver, is all I'm saying. I definitely trust him to operate on me. I don't think I trust him to drive me to work. But he was saying the classic one is a lot of athletes don't realize they just don't eat enough. Like, so that's why they're thinking immediately to supplements rather than maybe you just need a steak.
And I think that's what happens. So they're so fatigued, then they look for something that's going to give them a bump or lift them up. So they may look towards caffeine or an energy supplement of some sort. But the fact is, they're just not eating enough or not eating at the right time. So that becomes a bit of an issue. So they look to all these other things when in fact it's keep it simple, stupid.
And that's one of the things, you know, sort of on the simplicity, because I'm guessing with you guys, especially with the app, is a lot of it is helping the athletes just get a bit of order on what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, the app is predominantly a communication tool that, the practitioner is going to give them nice, simple feedback back from what they're doing now. So you're not like trying to reinvent the wheel. You're taking what they're doing now and adapting it, you know, saying your carbohydrate intake is not sufficient for what your activity is, and here's how you can increase that.
Fortunately, I'm a serious beer drinker. I'm never going to have that problem. Although he had very few spuds, actually, which people always get surprised by. I'm Irish, but I don't need that much spuds.
Mostly beer, yeah.
For carbs, yeah. For carbs, yeah. It's mostly beer and green veg, like, you know. So it's like, well, and obviously meat, lots of meat.
Yeah, almost balanced. Nearly there.
It's balanced, yeah. It's like, you know, I you know, for a guy who's done a lot of crazy athletic things, I can honestly say that my prep and dietary prep throughout was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, well, from the app anyway, it is, its simplicity is the key to it, and what we've done is made it very easy for the user to give forward a nice accurate food diary. So things like a photo atlas. So if you opened up the beer, you'd see a glass, a pint, a can, and a, you know, you'd be able to select from a photograph.
Wow,
so you're
that's
getting
really smart.
Some prompts like that, like a banana, small, medium, large, etc. So it gives them that, and then it will give them reminders as well. So, you know, you said you had a slice of toast. Did you forget to add your butter? Did you forget to add your jam? You know, that type of thing.
So these are the things people forget. You know, it's tea and coffee. Do you have sugar in it? You know, because they can be the big things. People,
of course,
think,
yeah.
People think about, you know, if we take, for example, weight loss, you know, they think about the takeaway that they must stop or the pints that they must stop, when in fact they're drinking 10 cups of coffee a day with 2 spoons of sugar in each cup of coffee.
And it's the sugar more than the caffeine even quite often.
Well, it's the sugar. They're doing that 7 days a week. There's your bigger win. Stop that and you won't have to worry about some of the other things. So people are, you know, they're missing, I think, a lot of the small detail.
Yeah.
And that's where
it's the stuff you wouldn't think about, essentially.
They're the things that adds up. The things that you do multiple times every day, 7 days a week, that's where you get, and they're the easier wins, because you can actually probably manage to stop the sugar in the tea or coffee, whereas maybe your night out might be a bigger, you know, that might be bigger.
But also on the night out, you don't want to think about what you're having.
No,
whereas,
no.
You know, during the week, you're probably totally fine with it. Like.
And you're much more likely to stick with that in the longer term, you know. So again, it's looking for solutions to lifestyle as opposed to a diet.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, one thing you mentioned there, the last section I was talking to you was, you mentioned the whole Irish food being in the app. Now, one thing I've noticed, you know, from reading about you guys, franchises, you're in 147 countries. So yeah. Eating habits across the world are radically different in different parts. So how did you as a company in Swords adapt for that?
Yeah, it's a big challenge, honestly. We have, because of the way the program's built, we do, with the evidence base intact, we have to actually source a database for each country that we go into or each region. So we have like a US, Australian, German, Dutch, you know, all these different food databases that if someone in that country, if they sign up from that country, that's the database they get, you know, so they don't get access, they don't get the UK database, because that's just how
I'm thinking, like, even with the US, the times a day they eat, and like with Spain, you know, radically different, like, because
yeah.
The basic one, like in America, they have lunch at 12, we typically do it at 1, mm-hmm. You know, Spain, obviously dinner is much later than we would, you know, there's all these like things which you kind of go, ah, that's the way to do it. But yeah, if someone's trying to do a database, these are things you got to factor in, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, yeah, in many ways, we have kind of built a framework that's very flexible and people can set up their own meal structures and times. So it does work, but the data, just harmonizing the data, making it usable and adding those photographs is a big part of it. One other thing I want to mention on the Libro side.
Oh, don't worry, I'll be asking more about that as we go on.
Okay.
But go on anyway.
I'll go on anyway. So one thing that we thought was pretty cool, we have a voice assistant built into it because now voice is really trendy at the moment, where you can
My Echo organizes my life now. I got one at Christmas. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So yeah, and it will be compatible with Echo as well. So you can You can say, you know, hey, Alexa, I had a bowl of cornflakes with semi-skim milk for breakfast, and she'll say, okay, I got that in Libro for you. So, and you can ask it questions as well, so it kind of filters away some of the questions that the nutrition professional gets, like, you know, can I eat this, can I do that? You can ask it, like, how many grams of protein in a bag of peanuts, or what's the top sources of protein for a vegetarian, and it will give you a list of those type of things. So some nice simple questions to help.
I got to behave in that one, by the way. It's like, you know, I was quite the carnivore. I've nothing against your veggies, I just love making fun of you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not vegetarian, but
no, it's fine. Let's be clear.
It's
I have a lot
trendy
of.
At the moment
I have, well. It is.
Well, especially for January.
We do, yeah. We usually do 2 or 3 days a week.
The classic one, though, on that is, and because like actually a lot of our vegetarian listeners will agree with me on this, is most of them, you know, if you're adjusting to it, if you're raised a vegetarian, it's one thing because you're used to it being your lifestyle. If you're making a choice to do it, it does involve thinking about how you're going to adjust your diet, because you do have to find new sources of protein. You do have to do stuff like that. Like one of my freelancers, and she's always finding me saying this, she's a vegan, grand. She's a vegan who's a terrible cook, by her own admission. And I was kind of going, if you're, you know, not good at making meals and you've switched to veganism in your mid-20s, maybe you need to learn to cook and think. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, because if you're making such a radical, and for very good ethical reasons, I should add, choice in your life, you got to be prepared. You know, it's like, so.
It's tough.
But the thing is, because when I'm thinking with an athlete as well, like, you know, if you're adjusting your diet, because in season versus out of season, I would hope at most of them they eat very differently. Like, I'm guessing as well, there is this organization factor that's required, Sharon.
Yeah, listen, I had an athlete in this morning, and, you know, his minimum magic number in terms of calories or energy is going to be between 5,000 and 6,000 calories a day. Now, that sounds like heaven to most people.
Oh, yeah, but for an athlete, because I'm thinking that's a swimmer or something like that when my first
that,
day. Like,
that sounds
like, I'm not trying to work out who it is. It's like my first thought is, I hear 5,000, 6,000, I'm thinking it's a swimmer.
That sounds like heaven, but it's actually, it does get old very quickly.
It's hard work.
Because it's hard work. There's a big volume of food there. And, you know, I had calculated out what I had put it out on a desk or in our kitchen to show another athlete a couple of weeks ago what 4,500 calories looked like. And I said, how are you going to run after eating that volume of food? How are you going to run? Because that's the difficulty. So
the thing is, people, when they don't just suddenly become elite athletes overnight, it's an evolving thing.
Yeah, and they don't sit either. And also, if we've got athletes from, you know, sports that are training twice or three times a day, the time that they have to do this is, they just don't literally. Mm. It's actually the logistics of it that's.
And it's a classic issue with rugby as well. Because I remember talking to you a couple of years ago, like guys who come into the academies, they're typically smaller than they need to be professionals. And the reason they're smaller is they eat like a normal human, not like an elite athlete. Yeah. And that's actually almost harder for them than the actual rugby side of things.
Yeah, and for me, it's not the training that causes them the problems. It's actually the other things around that. Mm. And then the cost of it. Like, it's quite expensive.
Well, Aldi's great, in fairness.
Yeah, but still, I tell you what, it's interesting to look at how much 5,000 calories looks like in a day. You are talking somewhere around about 50 to 60 euros potentially.
Oof, wow.
if you want to do it, you know, where you've got it is, and that's actually looking at it quite cheaply.
Wow.
You know, it is an expensive process. Yeah.
Something else,
yeah,
like, you
know. It's not cheap.
So, is that a week? 50-60 euro a week?
No.
A day?
A day. No. For, wow.
Like, you're talking,
that sounds amazing. Like,
yeah, no, you'll get a little bit of extras around the edges. That was just a shop that I had done to prepare for that. But yeah, you're certainly talking 30 to 40 euros, maybe.
That's still, that's a serious amount of cash. Like,
but if you think about it, you know,
I know that these aren't rich. Like,
if you've, you know, like as a meal, let's say 4 or 5 sweet potatoes, 2 or 3 things of broccoli, 2 chicken breasts.
Also,
that's
4 or 5 sweet potatoes in a day.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But therein lies the difficulty as well, with all of the mixed all of the mixed messages that you have, because, you know, we've got clean eating, we've got gluten free, we've got healthy, you know, do you see how people get mixed up and lost in what exactly they're trying to achieve?
And Sharon, would you adapt the, if someone has to eat those 6,000 calories, would it always be from healthy sources, or would you find yourself you have to introduce like honey and like extra liquids?
I think you have to. I just physically can't see. And also, it's maybe possible if you've got a prop or, you know, second row in rugby who's 100 to 120 kilos. If you've got an athlete that's 67 or 75 kilos that needs to consume that, or even worse, a female athlete that's maybe 50 to 60 kilos and is looking to achieve 4,000 calories a day, you can see where the volume of food actually becomes prohibitive as well.
And wow, yeah, that's, because I'm thinking, you know, years ago when he was playing his last game for Leinster, well, it ended up not being, because he came back for a few games the following season as a favourite, Ollie LaRue, was his last game in the RDS. And earlier in the week, a couple of lads were standing on the terrace, said how they were in the Eddie Rockets on Suffolk Street, I think it was, and they were walking out the door, and Sharon would actually be very happy because he was taking a proactive approach to getting his calories in. They go, and who do I see there with 2 double take cheeseburgers in front of him? That's a pound and a third of meat alone, never mind all the other stuff. You know, Ollie LaRue on his own, like, so he was eating these 2 giant burgers, because that was what Ollie LaRue needed to eat as a starting prop for Leinster.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just, you know, it is a fact. Yeah. There is only so much lettuce that's going to, you know, support 5,000 calories.
Yeah, it's like, well, that's the thing as well, because typically speaking, obviously, because, you know, those sort of foods that are good for you foods, typically you need to eat a lot more of them to get that level of calories.
And, like, and also then what you do is then you completely bump up your fibre intake, which then has its own potential side effects on the gut. Mix that in with running, you know, 5 or 10K alongside some anxiety or concerns, or just the adrenaline from competition, and you've got a whole other situation going on there as well.
Again, Aldi quilled toilet roll is great. But no, you actually, the anxiety part is real though, because I recall, most of us know, 8 years ago I did this crazy walk the length of Ireland, 500 miles. And, you know, if I was doing it right, and I was actually trying to make sure I did it right, I shouldn't have really lost much weight at all while doing it. I lost 3.5 stone, and that was essentially down to anxiety in 4 weeks, by the way, which, just to be clear, is a terrible idea, even if you're my size, because essentially I was too nervous to eat breakfast every morning, because every morning I was going out, and I mean, like, you know, all the sort of, you know, whatever in the stomach, like, in my stomach was absolutely raging, the idea of consuming anything before like 11 or 12. Totally. Yeah,
And that's the same. Some athletes just don't feel like eating. The other thing is that intense exercise actually has a physiological response that makes you feel nauseous. So again, there could be a period of time after you compete that you can't eat as well. Factor in, depending on the sport, what needs to happen. Do you need to talk to people? Is there a warm down? Is there another heat? You know, there's so many external factors that can prohibit an athlete doing what they need to do to try and get those calories in as well.
And so, getting back into Libra, and people going, aren't you jumping around a bit? It's like, yes, the way we do this show. I do actually want to ask you a bit more about the app. So, sure, for you guys as a company, because we're very essentially B2B in process. Now, it's obviously, there was consumers involved, but even they were sort of like the business people, you know, because that's what elite athletes typically would be acting like, even though they're like journalists, they're really badly paid business people. You know, but you went from this sort of B2B mindset to what Libra is now, which is, you know, clearly a consumer-facing thing. For you as a company, like, I'd say that was a huge change mentally.
Yeah, it was always on our roadmap. It was always our long-term goal to make make better food choices more accessible to people. So, like, you know, people have better tools to make decisions in that type of way. So it was always something that we wanted to do. It was just a case of doing it the right way and having the, because like all the variables that Sharon mentioned, you know, it's difficult to build every variable for every individual into an app. So to have the guidance there from a professional who knows, you know, knows the lay of the land, they can feed that back to the client and making that communication easier and more effective is what we're all about, really. And then from the other side, yeah, you don't have to have a nutrition professional to use Libro. Ultimately, I mean, right now you do, but in summer this year, we'll have it available to everyone, and they'll be able to use the app to get general feedback and then find the best professional for their goal. So if they are running a marathon in October, if they're probably October 2019 at this stage, but if they have clinical diabetes or
Irish people are dumb, they will often
they'll
do
go straight for it.
So
anything they want to do, they can find the best professional to help them get there as well. So the app will facilitate that.
Well, it does remind me of before my first marathon back in, I think it was 02 or 03. No, it was 2000. And Richard Nerwerker, the great British runner, was giving a chat trying to shill his book at the sort of thing they have in the RDS. And he said, he was there doing so. And I'm sure by now all of you have done 5 20-mile runs in preparation. And the looks, like I was there. Well, I know I'm crap, but the looks of all these people who thought they'd done real work. And like, you know, it's like, oh, it's like I was just a stupid student. I was aware I was an idiot beforehand. Like, no, he could have said any number and I've been there. Yeah, haven't done that. Like, these people clearly thought they had trained enough, and like, you know, it's like 5 20-mile runs, what are you at, like? But you know, so yeah, no, like knowing what to do with that is so important. Now, one thing, because I know the Cult of Connected are a varied form of geeks, will it be on both Android and iOS from day one when it comes out?
Yes, it will be. Yeah, it will indeed. Yeah,
that's good to know. Like, because you know, it's like, well, no, because people I've interviewed before who are still only on iOS, it's kind of going, come on, like, you know, I can't use your app because I have a bloody Samsung.
It's in Framework 7, so it's been...
Although I know what athletes are all iPhone users, none of them love Androids. It's very odd, like, you know, sports people. I find individual sportsmen, I'm sure Sharon can argue.
I'm not sure,
this.
Maybe after the Olympics. The Olympics. Quite a lot of Samsung, it's one of the sponsors.
It used to be more, you could see Android in team sports and iPhones in individual sports, but I'd say you're right with Samsung, that's changing.
I think there's a few floating about after, because they all got very nice, phones that had the rings and all on it and everything. So yeah,
they lost some love taking away the headphone jack, I think. So
because it's not even just not having the jack, it's just so easy to lose those headphones. I had with the new Motorola that's out, the most annoying part about it is that it has the headphones that come with it. You've got to actually plug in through the PowerPoint. Now, it still has a regular headphone jack, but if you want to use the ones that come with it, you can only use it with a USB of the contemporary variety. It's kind of going, this is pointless, never using them. And I threw them out straight away. Like, there was actually no point to them. Now, Shara, before we wrap up, I do want to ask you a bit about sort of, you know, how you've seen your role evolve, because you're with Sport Ireland a few years now.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing the conversations you have with the athletes you work with, particularly now that you're using software like Damien's, and I'm very proud, I haven't called you Damo once this episode, because that's my go-to for all Damien's, including the great founder of this paper, Damien Kybert. I call him and his brother Damo and Deco, even though I am not on first name terms with either. Shara, like, you know, I'm guessing the way you talk to athletes about like sort of the software you're using has really changed over the years.
Yeah, listen, this is going to make it a lot more user-friendly. Quite often, some of the feedback that you get can be quite scary, and athletes don't want to see that sometimes. So you would be looking at the information and trying to put it in such a format that it actually... it related to their day, their plan, their training schedule, etc. Now, if we've got the app, what we can do is we can actually give it to them and say, right, you're cutting out a lot of work for me because you're actually inputting the information. You're much more likely not to forget. If you're away somewhere, it's going to be easier. You know, we can scan it in. We can do lots of different things. So we're cutting out a lot. And there is also an element of they're taking a little bit of ownership over it as well. So, you know, I won't ask them to keep these things all of the time because it becomes very boring and onerous unless we're doing a specific project. But, you know, for example, if I am asking an athlete to keep something, I'll say, right, I'd like you to keep that for maybe a day a week over the next 3 to 4 weeks just to see how we're getting on. Training is stepping up quite significantly over the next 4 to 5 weeks. Let's see if we're achieving our targets. And for a lot of them, it is really in terms of energy availability, but it's also then looking at some of the specifics around carbohydrates, proteins. If I've got athletes that are short on iron, are they meeting iron requirements? And again, you know, some of the smaller nutrients as well.
And we've got to wrap up sadly shortly here, but we are going to ask both our guests to let the people know where they can find them. I definitely recommend following Sharon on Twitter, because I've been following her for years. What's your handle on Twitter again, Sharon?
Oh my goodness, at @Madigan_Sharon, I think it is.
Great stuff. And if not, you'll find her easy enough, because she's got doctor in her little like title as well. So, it's like, which is by the way important, like, you know, because, you know, thankfully doctor is also a protected term these days. And Damien, if people want to find out more about Nutritics, where should they go to learn about this sort of stuff?
You can check our website, nutritics.com. Or we're at Nutritics handle on Twitter as well.
That is fantastic. I thank both my guests, Dr. Sharon Madigan and Damien Kelly. Damien O'Kelly. I also mix up with you also because you're an IAN. Yeah. I always think of the boxer from the 90s.
Call me Damo O'Kelly if you
Damo
want.
Damo O'Kelly, yeah. Well, see, Damien Kelly was a pretty good Irish boxer in the mid-90s into the early 2000s. Like, never quite made it, but he was good. Like, he was very exciting to watch. You know, it's like he's a northern person like Sharon, so she immediately recognized the name as soon as I said that.
Working with boxing since 2003, I know quite a lot of the names.
So he was like a 96 Olympian, I think. Yeah. And he fought at a pretty good level as well. Like, never quite real world title level, but close enough to it. But that's me on one of my many tangents. Bit of housekeeping as always to finish it up. First of all, thanks to Sharon and Damien for joining me. A bit of housekeeping before we finish up. Our next episode will be next week, and we should actually also be consecutive weeks for, it'll be 6 weeks in a row now with the way we've scheduled, so with a little bit of actual organization and order. Again, you can thank my Echo for that, you know, because my word, that thing is getting me up in the morning and stuff. It's crazy, folks. You know, it's like, Amazon don't sponsor us, but like, they should be sponsoring me personally, because I'm this like biggest pitchman they've got going on the street at the moment. So we will have two very different guests, I gotta say, over the next 2 weeks after this one, and I'm not revealing who they are because they are radically different to what we've had in recent weeks, and that'll lead us up nicely to what should be our third or fourth annual Valentine's special, where we hope once again to have in our friends Shauna Scott and a few others from the Connected team to talk about the weirdness of being in love online in the digital age. So that'll be coming up obviously in time for V-Day, as I like to call it. And other bit of notes, as always, you can follow us. Best way to get in touch with us is via my Twitter, that's @Action81, which is of course originally from a website that I used to own, which no longer exists, but I haven't been bothered changing it. And thanks as ever to our sponsors, Dell EMC, because without them we literally don't have a podcast. So that's really important. Also, they're really sound, they don't actually try to editorially influence us. Their boss in Ireland, Ashton Keegan, was remarkably cool when I was really grilling her and taking her off in various tangents last week's episode. So that was great recording with her. So 2 weeks ago's episode at this stage. And that's basically it. So as always, look after yourselves, folks, and have a good time, and I'll just keep being Emmett Ryan. Thanks, y'all.